You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
Hello, Miami Dolphin fans, and welcome to the Same Old Dolphin Show, part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. I'm Josh Katzker. With me today and every day is my brother from the exact same mother, Aaron the Brain. Aaron, say hello to the people.
Hello to the people.
How you doing, Brain?
I got a negative COVID test on Saturday, so I got to enjoy my weekend. I got to get out of the house a little bit, went over to the horse track here and Gulfstream for a little work thing. It was a beautiful thing. It was a beautiful day. I got to bet on the ponies.
Ponies, and, baby.
Yeah, and now we're, back to the grind a little bit. But, it feels good to, for the most part, be healthy. Still battling a little bit of a slight cough, but I've probably coughed less today than I have at any point since getting sick.
I would say that you probably have to be feeling better because the Buffalo Bills lost in the playoffs.
Doesn't hurt.
It's always a good day when the Bills lose, and when they lose in hilarious fashion, the way they did to the Chiefs, makes it a little better. So it's fun, you know.
Doesn't hurt. I'll tell you that much. It doesn't hurt.
It certainly doesn't. So it's always, you know, a little helpful to have, misery loves company, as they say. So might as well have the Bills lose as well. It's a good time. It's fun to watch them be sad. But Brain, I'm glad you're feeling better. I'm glad you're on the upswing. That's really good. Because we've still got a show to do. It is now the off season for the Miami Dolphins. We're a week removed from the Dolphins' heartbreaking loss to the Chiefs, but then the Chiefs went ahead and took care of the rest of the AFCs in terms of the playoffs. But, we're not done. We're not going away because there's a lot of off season business that the Miami Dolphins need to attend to. And of course, you know, the big things that everybody's thinking about is the draft and free agency. But before we get to the draft and free agency, the Dolphins have several players that they're going to need to make some decisions about. And we are going to do this next little stretch of time. We're gone from the multiple shows a week. We're down to one show a week for this next little bit here. But we're not going to go away. Instead, we're going to discuss, particularly over these next few weeks, we're going to discuss several players that the Miami Dolphins need to make decisions on. And each show is going to be dedicated to one of those players. And we decided, why not start right off the bat with the player who has been more of a lightning rod than any other that has worn the Miami Dolphin uniform in some time. So this episode is going to be all about what the Miami Dolphins should do with Tua Tagovailoa. And we're going to get into that. But before we get into that discussion, a reminder to you, if you're not doing so already, to make sure that you are following us on X, which you can find at twitter.com. I'm at AmplifiedToRock. He's at Aaron the Brain. That's at Aaron the Brain. The show is at Same Old Dolphins. And you can download, rate, review, and subscribe to every episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, everywhere that you get your podcasts. Of course, make sure you're visiting DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. Make sure you are liking this video. Go ahead right now. Take just a moment out of your time. If you're watching this live on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, thank you for joining us. If you're watching it afterwards, That's great too. Smash that like button if you would. Thank you. Shout out to everybody as well watching on the I'm a Miami Dolphin fan Facebook page. Make sure you are subscribed to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel because lots more good content coming your way. Make sure you visit DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. It's your one-stop shop for all things Miami Dolphins. And I'm going to share some information with everybody. This isn't an announcement per se, but I guess kind of it is. And that is that at Dolphins Talk, at the Dolphins Talk Podcast Network, we're kicking around the idea of starting a Patreon. We're not official. It's not official. We haven't definitively made a decision one way or the other, but it's an idea that we're kicking around right now. So what we'd love to do, what we'd really love right now, is to hear from you about if we were to start a Dolphins Talk Patreon, what are some of the things that you would find to be valuable? Extra content, interactive things, anything at all, really, that you think would interest you in a Dolphins Talk Patreon. Let us know. You can let us know in the comments here below this video. You can let us know in podcast form, wherever it is that you consume the podcast. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your thoughts. You can also tweet at us, of course, at Amplified to Rock, at Aaron the Brain, at Same Old Dolphins. We'd love to hear from you as we kick this idea around. It's something that we'd be looking probably to launch if we're going to do it, probably shortly ahead of, around training camp time, preseason time for next season, which would give us plenty of time to ramp up and get everything in place. So let us know, tweet at us, let us know what you think about that idea and what you would love. So here we go. Let's get into this. Brain, Tua Tagovailoa has just completed his fourth season with the Miami Dolphins. And I think it is fair to say that in each of his four seasons as the Miami Dolphins starting quarterback, and granted, he wasn't the starting quarterback for the first half of that first season, but whatever. In each of his four professional seasons, we have seen positive growth from Tua Tagovailoa as a player. I think it's also safe to say that with the arrival of Mike McDaniel and his offensive scheme, we have seen exponential growth from Tua Tagovailoa. In fact, I think it's easy to say that he just had the two best years of his career. In fact, his 2023 season was a Pro Bowl season. He led the NFL in passing yardage with 4,624 yards, through 29 touchdowns, 14 interceptions, ended the season with a 101.1 quarterback rating. Pretty good year for Tua Tagovailoa. In fact, it landed him a starting Pro Bowl nod. Now, Pro Bowl nods don't mean what they used to, but I mean, it's still a pretty significant accomplishment. So I think it's safe to say that Tua Tagovailoa is really a very productive quarterback for the Miami Dolphins, particularly in this system that was built around his strengths. Would you say that that's a fair assessment, Brent?
Productive, yes, is a fair assessment.
So, and I made the statement on Twitter over the weekend that I thought that Tua Tagovailoa is a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. And while I would say that there are some people that would disagree with that, what I would say is there is a tier of quarterbacks that is maybe four or five guys that are the top, right? There's Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow. Those four I feel really good about, that are definitely in that tier above. Some people would put Justin Herbert in that tier. I'm not so sure. Some people might put Matthew Stafford in that tier. I'm not so sure. What I can say is that below those four guys, definitively, you've got another probably, I don't know, 6 to 10 quarterbacks that you could argue the order that those quarterbacks fall in, but they're all roughly similar. You're talking about differences on the margins, right? And so for me, Tua Tagovailoa does fall into my top 10. If I was making a list of my quarterback rankings like I did for Go Time Dolphins, you did as well, Brain. Mm-hmm. Shout out to our guys, Go Time Dolphins. I have Tua in my, I had Tua in my top 10 preseason. I still have him in my top 10 now, although lower than he was at the beginning of the season, actually. So what does that tell you? That he had his best season and he actually dropped in the QB rankings.
Where did you have him ranked?
I had him ranked 6 ahead of, ahead of the 2023 season. I had him as my number 6 quarterback.
And I had him ranked what, 8th?
I think so.
Okay.
The fact is, we both had him ranked as a top 10 QB. I would still have Tua listed as a top 10 QB. And whether, you know, but if you don't have him listed as a top 10 QB, we're talking about marginal differences, right? And Brain, I think it's fair to say that the biggest reason that folks have for perhaps not having the full faith in Tua or clearly not ranking him as a top 10 quarterback is because, as it happens, Tua Tagovailoa, in each of the 4 seasons that he has played his worst football at the end of the season, when the games mean the most. And you can go to Pro Football Reference and you can put the splits right in front of you. I'm looking at them right now, okay? I mean, when you look at his splits between, like, he in the months of September, October, and November, Tua Tagovailoa has a combined record of 24-9. And then when you look at December and January, that drops to 10-10. Okay. So you can go and you can look at the splits and you can see how he's got, in September, he's got a completion percentage of 68.4. In October, 69.6. November, 69.1. December, 64.8. January, 58.6. Right? His rating is 110 in September games. This is throughout his career. October, 100.1. November, 105.5. December drops down to 91.3. January drops down to 65. So there's a clear drop off, and there's a lot of argument about sample size, right? And I think it's fair to say that a lot of people, particularly at the end of the season, were reacting to Tua's performance in those final, we'll call it the final 3 games of the season against Baltimore, Buffalo, and Kansas City. And yeah, I think definitely. It's inarguable that Tua was terrible in the Baltimore game, terrible in the Kansas City game, and terrible for half of the Buffalo game. And a lot of people are making judgments based on that. But when I talk about the fact that Tua plays his worst football at the end of the season in December and January, I'm not talking about 2 games, 3 games. I'm talking about cumulatively over his 4-year career. That is a pattern that has developed. And you can, and I'm not sure exactly why that is the case. I have a little bit of an idea in terms of the past couple of seasons, but overall, I mean, to me, I don't think this is something that is subjective. I think it's fair to say that objectively, Tua has played very well, largely September, October, November, and not played as well in December and January. Would you say that's fair?
Oh, without a doubt.
So that is, I think, for me, why we're having a conversation now about what the Dolphins should do with Tua Tagovailoa. I think that's why there's a question. Now, before we get into the options about what it is that the Dolphins can do, Brain, what is your takeaway from 4 seasons of Tua Tagovailoa as the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins?
So let's remember that coming out of Alabama, coming off of a catastrophic injury, the hip injury, the fractured hip, most thought first year was probably going to be a redshirt year. But he was thrust into action in the middle of the season, seemed like a Chris Greer decision, not a Brian Flores decision. So much so that the team didn't even know that move was happening. Even though they had just come off of back-to-back wins and Ryan Fitzpatrick was playing as well as he had played and felt like he had this team and this was his locker room and everything. And that first year of Tua was rocky at best. And, you know, he had some flashes, but he also had some games where it was like, it was just like, this guy looks lost out there. They were playing a very pared down offense for him. It was a clear drop off from Ryan Fitzpatrick. And, was his rookie year the year that, at the end of the year, the Fitzpatrick, was coming in, the magic. No, that was his second year. Second year was the year that, Fitzpatrick was coming in late in the season to replace him, or was that his rookie year?
I think it was his rookie year.
Oh, his rookie year when we had like the Raider game. You're right. Because then the second year, Jacoby Brissett was his backup, and it was an up and down year. Well, it was a really terrible start to the year, mostly because of the defense, but the whole team got off to the bad start, and then things started to move in the right direction. And then with an opportunity to, you know, play their way into the playoffs, they had a cold game in Tennessee and he fell flat on his face and had his worst game of the year. And then obviously you had the whole like Brian Flores, Deshaun Watson thing, that whole thing was going on. Mike McDaniel comes in. Mike McDaniel completely transforms him, starting mentally, you know, starting with confidence and getting to believe in the guy. And the result is he puts together a really, really great season, but he gets hurt with the concussion issues. And so we come into this season and the narrative around Tua is, well, really good quarterback, just needs to stay healthy. And what he does this year is he plays every single game, starts all 17 games, plays at a very, very high level, but he falls apart down the stretch. There are reasons that he fell apart down the stretch. Part of them are his own, you know, his own shortcomings. Part of them is play calling. Part of them is the offense in general, injuries to the wide receiver core, not enough talent at the receiver core, and the offensive line being exposed a little bit. But all of those things factored in, and Tua is not absolved from his part in the offense's lack of productivity at the end. And so what you end up with is, you end up with, this is a guy that's gotten better every single year, has shown you that he can play at a very, very high level, but for whatever reason, hasn't gotten it done when it's mattered most. So the question is, what do you do?
And before we answer that question, there's another part of his game that I feel like needs to be considered here. What was, Brain, when you did your film study of Tua, right after the Dolphins drafted him, before that 2020 season, you did a film study about Tua. You reviewed all that college tape. And you said that this was a guy that has a lot of, you know, his accuracy is off the charts, but there was one trait that you said was something that he was going to need to get cleaned up. Do you remember what that trait was?
His trait was, it was really two things. It was number one, first and foremost, when his first read is taken away, he sometimes struggles to move through his progressions. And then the other thing was, when that happens, he a lot of times will try to do too much. He will hold on to the ball too long. And when he tries to do too much, he gets into trouble and makes big time mistakes.
He makes big time mistakes. He also gets hurt. And that was something that we saw going back to that initial concussion incident in Cincinnati, he was hurt on that play because he held on to the ball way too long and ended up getting hurt. And so what I think we've seen this year, in an effort to keep himself safe, in an effort to protect himself, we saw Tua really working to get rid of the ball faster. And it seemed like psychologically, and again, I'm not sitting here trying to psychoanalyze a man I've never met, and somebody who I've only seen play football. I'm not trying to psychoanalyze the guy, but it seems to me in watching him play, there's a clear difference in that this is somebody who is trying to get the ball out of his hands as fast as he can. One, because that's how the offense works, but two, because that's how he's going to protect himself. And it seems as though he has been programmed not to run the ball the way that he did, because we saw significantly less Tua moving around this year. Again, part of that being to protect himself. And what I think has happened is that you've got this quarterback who was formerly the guy who wanted to try to find a way to be the hero, to try to make a play happen at all costs, right? We've seen that get programmed out of him. And instead, we've got a quarterback who is, the play's not there. I haven't been able to get rid of the ball. I'm freaking out. I don't know what to do. I'm going to give up on the play and go down and protect myself. We saw a little bit of that. And I think that we've got what we need to do, what we need to see from Tua going forward in terms of his play, is that you need to find that middle ground between that guy who wants to play hero ball and that guy who is trying to protect himself at all costs. You've got to find a better balance, because that is going to be key in, as we've talked about before, Tua being able to make plays outside of the structure of Mike McDaniel's offense. Part of it is Mike McDaniel's offense might need to be, it's so specific, it's so timing-based, it's so finesse that one, it breaks down, it completely breaks down, and there's no room for Tua to make happen. But part of it needs, that offense needs to have a few more escape valves built into it so that when it does get shut down, that there are other options available, and that Tua can find those. I think that's an improvement that Tua needs to make going forward. Again, not to take anything away from his incredible 2023 season, right? But as you said, Bryn, when you consider all of that stuff, that's why we're sitting here doing a podcast episode about what do you do about Tua Tagovailoa. Because if it wasn't for the fact that he faded down the stretch in each of his four seasons and played his worst football objectively in December and January when the games mean the most, if that wasn't the case, it would be very easy to be like, well, we got to get Tua locked up here going forward. But as it stands, there are still question marks. And I don't mean for everybody. I mean, there are some people out there who have no question at all that the Dolphins need to move off of Tua Tagovailoa. And there are some people out there that have no doubt at all that the Dolphins need to make a long-term commitment to Tua Tagovailoa. We're sitting here having a conversation about the options that the Dolphins have. So, Bryn, let's talk about that first option. That first option being the one that would be so obvious if it weren't for the December and January swoon, and that option is locking Tua up long term.
Yeah, so that seems to be the most likely scenario. The team has come out and said that they are planning on giving Tua a long term extension, and you know, granted, both sides have to agree to an extension. It's not a given. Just because the team says they want to extend him and Tua says, I want an extension, does not mean that they're going to agree on the numbers. However, since that seems to be the way that the preferred route of the team, let's talk about the pros, the cons, and then let's talk about what that extension might look like. So the pro of it is that Tua Tagovailoa is going into next year with a cap number of a little over $23 million. And if you don't extend him and you play him on the fifth year option, and we'll talk about that as an option a little bit more in depth in a little bit, then that's going to be his cap number. And remember that the team as a whole has a lot of big decisions to make about Christian Wilkins, who we're going to do a show about probably next week, Robert Hunt and Connor Williams, who we're going to be doing shows on in the coming weeks. Andrew Van Ginkel, who we're probably going to do a show on. Jerome Baker, who we're probably going to do a show on. And they currently sit over $40 million north of the salary cap for 2024. And yes, things can be moved around, things can be manipulated, contracts can be restructured. However, if you decide to play Tua on the fifth year option, that's going to make it a lot more difficult to re-sign the guys that you want to re-sign, or as many of the guys that you want to re-sign. However, if you extend him in the short term, you can probably save yourself upwards of about $20 million in cap space by doing that for next year. And then as his cap number rises, you've got a little bit more flexibility with the way that you can structure contracts in the future to get around that. But for 2024, in a year where the Dolphins are, you know, pretty much in their winning window, this team was not built to not win now. This team is built to win now. That's what they're trying to do. If you want to win now, it's going to be really difficult to do that if you are paying Tua at a cap number of north of 20 million, 23 million. So if you can save $20 million, then I think that that's really beneficial. Now, the con of that is that if you do give him an extension, we need to look at what that extension looks like. And here are, over the last few years, here are some notable contract extensions. And you can argue whether or not Tua is better than these guys, worse than these guys, whatever you feel, just understand that if I'm Tua's agent, I'm going in with the ammunition of knowing that my client led the league in passer rating last year. The big knock on him was that he couldn't stay healthy, played all 17 games this year, and then led the league in passing and got a Pro Bowl nod. So it's going to be difficult when you make these comparisons to say that Tua isn't on the same level as these guys. Justin Herbert signed for 5 years, $262.5 million. Was signed prior to the start of this season. $133.7 million guaranteed. Got his signing bonus plus 2023 to 2025 salary guaranteed. Now, they can get out of it without any more guaranteed money after that. However, he's got massive dead cap numbers in the following three seasons. So it's really not ideal for the Chargers to move on from him. When they sign him to that extension, they're basically thinking, this is our franchise quarterback here for the next 5 years. And if you want to compare Justin Herbert to Tua, and you want to say, well, Justin Herbert had better numbers the first 3 years and Tua had, or the first 2 years and Tua had better numbers the last 2 years. And then you want to say, well, Tua can't come up big in the playoffs. Well, neither has Justin Herbert.
To be fair, Justin Herbert didn't blow a 27-0 lead.
And Justin Herbert didn't win, what, 4 or 5 games this year.
Right. I mean, that's fair.
With a pretty good supporting cast of players and a highly regarded offensive minded coach. So that's Justin Herbert. I'm not suggesting that the Dolphins should pay Tua the Justin Herbert contract. I think that's more of a cautionary tale. However, keep in mind that this is a negotiation between Chris Greer and Tua's agent, and Tua's agent is going to have a hell of an argument as to why Tua deserves somewhat close to the Justin Herbert contract. Let's look at Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, kind of the anti-Tua, you could say, because while he's not putting up monster passing numbers, he has proven to be a winner. And he did get his team to the Super Bowl and played really, really well on the way to the Super Bowl and in said Super Bowl. Now, things fell off this year for Jalen Hurts. He had a lot of turnovers, a lot of mistakes. He did deal with some injuries down the stretch, but he totally also fell apart at the end of the year. And if you take away 1 yard runs from Jalen Hurts, I'm not so sure that Jalen Hurts is necessarily this top tier quarterback. That said, Jalen Hurts also signed his contract extension prior to this year. 5 years, $255 million, $110 million guaranteed. Kind of similar to the Justin Herbert contract. The difference between Jalen Hurts' contract and Justin Herbert's contract is that Jalen Hurts' contract, the Eagles decided to use void years at the end of his contract. So he's got 4 void years in his contract, which effectively lower his cap hit throughout his contract and make it a little bit easier to stomach. And then they can renegotiate his contract after that. However, if they don't renegotiate his contract, they're basically on the hook for like $97 million at the end of his contract without him even being on the roster. So it's not an ideal situation for them to move off of Jalen Hurts. So let's move on to the next one. Kyler Murray. This is an interesting one because Kyler Murray has shown signs of being an elite quarterback. I think his ceiling is higher than Tua's. However, Kyler Murray has been, you know, notably criticized for not working hard, not studying his playbook, something that Tua has been lauded for. And, you know, Kyler Murray also had a significant injury that he basically missed an entire season for. So not necessarily the healthiest guy in the world. But that said, Kyler Murray signed it prior to 2022, 5 years, $230.5 million, $103 million guaranteed. I got a couple
with a homework
few more
clause.
Oh, what? Say that again?
With a homework clause.
With a homework clause. Oh, and by the way, I believe Jalen. Oh, yeah. So Justin Herbert, Jalen Hurts, and Kyler Murray, all full no trade clauses as well. Tua is not going to get a full no trade clause. Spoiler alert. Here's an interesting one. And this is the last one of a guy that I think is significantly getting paid more than what Tua is probably going to get. But I don't know that it's necessarily warranted. And that is the guy that was rumored to be coming here for the last 2 seasons prior to Josh McDaniel taking or Mike McDaniel taking over. And that's Deshaun Watson.
Right. Deshaun Watson, we don't need to get into the weeds with his gigantic, fully guaranteed contract. It's just not
5 years, $230 million, fully guaranteed.
Right. That, and it's going to be an anchor around the necks of the Cleveland Browns for years to come, especially if he continues to play. Like, that's a guy who the entire league has changed in the time that he's been gone, and he has not adapted to it. And he has just he's been kind of trash, frankly, since he's come back.
And he got outplayed by Joe Flacco, who basically
Joe Flacco,
carried
the
them
corpse
to the
of Joe Flacco yeah. came in, and you had people in Cleveland saying, maybe we can get out of this Watson deal.
So just a few more here, because I think these are sort of the prototypes here.
Just give us the nuts and bolts of these. Let's get through these.
Daniel Jones signed in 2023. 4 years, $160 million. $81 million guaranteed, signing bonus plus 2023 and 2024 salaries, and then manageable dead cap in the last 2 years of his deal. A lot of people are criticizing that deal from the Giants, and I agree. I'm not sure that Daniel Jones was necessarily worth that contract, but it's a very easy contract to get out of after 2 years. So people are going to very naturally say, well, that's the contract that you give Tua. And again, I go back to the point, Daniel Jones has done nothing in this league. Statistically, he can't even sniff the numbers that Tua has put up. So I don't think it's realistic. Now, if I'm Chris Greer, am I angling to give Tua the Daniel Jones contract? 100%. But I think it would be crazy It would be asinine for Tua to accept that contract. He wouldn't be betting on himself to take that contract, but we'll see. The other ones, two more. Dak Prescott signed in 2021. 4-year deal, $160 million, $95 million guaranteed, no tag, no trade clause, two void years on the end, makes the cap, you know, manageable. So that's $40 million a year, similar to Daniel Jones, but it was also signed 2 years previously, which means that if Tua was to sign that, that'd be 3 years removed from that with a rising cap every year. I don't think it's realistic that you're going to get that low of a figure. And then the other guy that I want to talk about is Jared Goff, because Jared Goff is probably the guy that Tua has been most compared to this year because of the McVay-McDaniel connection, the idea of trading Goff after his rookie contract. And Jared Goff got 4 years, $134 million, and that was signed in 2019. And Jared Goff was widely regarded at that point as being really a below average starting quarterback. Maybe he was considered up slightly above average at the time that he signed it. And so I want to talk about not just those contracts, because I think those contracts are kind of your template, but also comparing Tua to those players.
Well, I think there's a lot of, I mean, we've made the comparison between Goff and Tua in the last show that we did, talking about, you know, their inability to function outside of the structure of the systems that were built for them, right? Well, I guess McVay's system was not built for Goff, but that was who he had. He decided that Goff was not able to do enough without beyond the system, so McVay wanted to get rid of him, and he brings him to Detroit, where he finds entirely new life. Daniel Jones is as average as an NFL starting quarterback can be when it comes to passing. He does have a little bit of mobility that is a game changer for him. I think pre suspension, Deshaun Watson was one of the up and coming gunslingers in the league. He was that kind of superhero type quarterback along the lines of Josh Allen, where he was going to strap you on his back and he was going to take that team as far as he can carry it. You know, the way that Josh Allen does. Tua is not that player. You know, I think there are some maybe comparisons to make in terms of Dak, but really I think the question is which of those contracts seems to make the most sense for the Dolphins from where they're coming from. Because to me, it's that Daniel Jones contract, because I think that figure is probably close to where the Dolphins are going to be aiming for. It's probably not what Tua's agents. Tua's agents are probably thinking something closer to $50-55 million a year. But I think the Dolphins are going to need to look for ways out of the contract. And the way that they're going to have to put that in, because you've got to talk about, you know, the fact is Tua played 1 year where he was able to stay healthy. And while that's great and that's wonderful, you can't let the fact that he was able to do it for one season, you know, allow you to, you know, get tied into a long-term deal. You got it. The Dolphins are going to have to build outs for themselves, whether it's injury clauses or whatever it is. The Dolphins are going to have to build outs in this contract. And it would make sense to me that the Dolphins would probably not want to guarantee, you know, that big of a number. But at the same time, I think that's where you're going to have that's where Greer and his team are going to butt heads with Tua and his team, because I think if these agents are anything worth their salt, they're going to do everything in their power to get to squeeze every guaranteed dollar that they can out of the Miami Dolphins.
I agree. And what I'm seeing a lot of is well, all right, we're comparing Tua to Jared Goff, and we're like, well, Jared Goff looks really great, and he just got his team to the AFC Championship game, so clearly he's better than Tua. And Dak Prescott, NFC. For all of his... or NFC Championship. And for Dak Prescott, for all of his foibles, he looks like he's better than Tua, even though, you know, he hasn't been great in the playoffs. He has won, I believe, one or two playoff games. And then people are bringing like Baker Mayfield into the equation. And they're saying, well, Baker Mayfield can win a playoff game. And this is where I would like to remind people that Jared Goff was drafted in 2016. And Tua Tagovailoa was drafted in 2020. And there is, and we've talked about how Tua has gotten better every single year that he's in the league. So the idea that Tua is who he is right now and will be who he is right now for the lifetime of his career, I think certainly is a possibility, but doesn't really seem to be the most accurate or realistic assessment of what's going to happen. By the same token, Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott was drafted and a rookie in 2016. He's been in the league 8 years, twice as long as Tua. Baker Mayfield has been in the league, what? This was his sixth season in the league. He was drafted in 2018. These guys are all older than Tua. Baker Mayfield, the last two seasons, has been garbage. He looked really good in his third year in Cleveland and got himself a contract. And then 2021, 17 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. 2022, 10 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, bouncing around to three teams. Then he has a really good year this year. Jared Goff earned himself that contract after three or four really good seasons. He earned the contract after his third season in 2018, coming off of back-to-back years where he threw 28 touchdowns and seven interceptions and 32 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. Then in his last 2 years with the Rams, it was 22 and 16 and 20 and 13, which led them to move on from him. And then he had a very mediocre year in his first year in Detroit. And all of a sudden, the last 2 years, he's come into his own. So there's a lot of similarity there between these quarterbacks, that these are quarterbacks that are continuing to get better and more seasoned. And so signing a Tua Tagovailoa to a contract in the long term, you're not necessarily, and granted, it could go the other way. You know, like Jared Goff, when he signed the contract, was coming off of his best season and then followed it up with three of his worst seasons before finally bouncing back with the last two seasons. Baker Mayfield, it was a similar story. Had the best year of his career, signed a big contract, had a couple of down years, and then had his big year this year. Dak Prescott, you know, for years was, you know, Dallas was on the fence about whether or not they should give him a big contract extension. They finally gave him a big contract extension in 2021, and he's really rewarded them the last 3 years, although he hasn't come through in the playoffs. I think when you look at those guys, I think from a talent perspective, a productivity perspective, and really from a contract perspective, those are the guys that you really need to compare to. The Daniel Jones thing, I think the number is interesting. I think it's the floor of, like, Tua is not going to accept less than what the Daniel Jones contract is, which happens to be the same as Dak Prescott's contract, but again, signed 2 years later. So I think it's pretty simple. I think you look at the Dak Prescott contract, you look at the Jared Goff contract, and you look at these and you say, well, let's take into account the rising salary cap, and then what does that number look like? It's probably going to look somewhere around the lines of about $45 to $48 million annual salary per year. And then it's how do you structure it so that you have ways to get out of the contract? How much do you guarantee it?
And I think there are all kinds of permutations and possibilities that could take. But I think what the key is, and this is, I think, why we're talking about this as the option, the key is what the Dolphins can do with their salary cap if they do go forward with the extension, right? Because if they do go ahead and extend him, they can take what is currently slated to be a $23 million salary cap hit next season and drop that to somewhere, you know, what, six in the 6, 7, 8 range, you know, maybe a little bit higher than that. But, you know, it's a significantly smaller cap hit and it allows you to push that money forward and push it off to later. And this is when people tell you that the salary cap isn't real, this is what they're talking about, because you can sign somebody to an extension and defer all of the where the salary cap hits and you push it off into the future. So I think that's the biggest reason. I mean the biggest reason to for the Dolphins to sign to a, I mean, there's two to me. The biggest one is it's going to free up a bunch of salary cap space for the Dolphins to be able to make all of the other signings that they need to make. They've got so many other guys that we've got episodes about coming up, whether that's Andrew Van Ginkle or Christian Wilkins or Xavien Howard, you know, other free agents at the Teron Armstead, Connor Williams, Robert Hunt, all of these guys that are out there. Extending Tua is going to free up cap space for that to happen. Right. So that's option one, is the extension. Now, if you don't extend, Brain, there are two choices, right? If the Dolphins choose not or can't agree to an extension, I mean, I guess technically there's three, but the two choices, like, you're not would really be. Right. Yeah, right. You're not going to cut him.
He's got $23 million guaranteed.
So the other option is that you let him play out his fifth year option, and then he becomes an unrestricted, well, it has the potential to be an unrestricted free agent after that. You could also put a franchise tag on him and do all that stuff after the fact. But if so, letting him play out on his fifth year option is the, it protects the team long term, because if he should regress or again fails to stay healthy, it allows the team to, you know, allows Chris Greer and all of them to factor that into any future contract talks. Also allows the team to much more easily decide after that season if they wanted to, that they could walk away from Tua. But it does mean that he plays the 2024 season at a $23 million cap hit, which, given everything else that the Dolphins are working to try to do to be competitive in 2024, because we said this at the time when the Dolphins traded for Tyreek Hill and traded for Bradley Chubb and signed him to that new deal, the Dolphins were all in, and they were really looking at a two year competitive window. I mean, 3 years if you count 2022, right? It was a 3 year window. 24 is kind of the end of that window, and obviously you can take into consideration the cap manipulation and all of that, and maybe the window extends. But a key factor in extending the window means hitting on draft picks. The Dolphins haven't really had draft picks the last couple of years and have almost completely whiffed on all of them. So, yeah, Brian, you want to talk about what happens if the Dolphins decide to let Tua play 24 on his fifth year option?
Well, I think, you know, the argument for playing him on his 2024 fifth year option is that if he does not show you that he's worthy of the contract extension, you get out of it.
Right. And then it's done.
You don't have this pendant. You have all the cap flexibility in the coming year without having to be like beholden to you. You've got this massive cap, this massive contract that you can't get out of for at least a couple of seasons. And then, you know, you even have the option. Granted, I don't think it's a great one, of if he plays really well, but you're still in doubt as to whether or not he's worth the extension and you can't come up with the right number, you still have the option of franchising him. Now, franchising him, though, you know, now it becomes intriguing because the Dolphins do have the cap flexibility in 2025. So if they decide that they can make it work, with it, if they can't come to, like, let's say Chris Greer goes in and he says, look, I want to give you an extension, but I'm not willing to give you much, much more than the Daniel Jones contract. You know, maybe he's willing to throw like an extra $10 million onto it and make it 4 years, $170 million. You know, maybe he's willing to throw $20 million, make it 4 years, $180 million. But it still has the options where basically you can get out of that contract after two seasons with minimal dead cap. And Tua's agent says, you know, that's not good enough. And they can't come to an agreement. Then, you know, there is a solid case to be made about, well, we're just going to play Tua on the fifth year option. And if he plays great and we're sold that he's the long term, we'll give him the extension then. And if he plays really good, but we're not sold that he's necessarily the long term guy and we want to go year to year, we can go year to year and we can give him a 50 whatever million dollar cap hit in 2025 and still find the ways to make it work in the salary cap with our other players. You can't really do that for too much longer than that, though. You could probably get away with it with that for 1 year. So you could probably get away with doing the fifth year option and then giving him the franchise tag for 1 year. Although I do think it would obviously be at the detriment of other players, because at that point, now you're having to determine contract extensions for guys like Jalen Waddle and Jalen Phillips. And you've got contracts that you've restructured in Bradley Chubb, and you're having to pay the piper. And now you've got to fill out the rest of your roster. And it really puts an onus on you. If you go that route, you absolutely have to nail the draft out of the park these next 2 years, because you're going to need a lot of cheap talent. And I don't think anybody has faith that Chris Greer is going to absolutely nail the draft out of the park. And frankly, I don't think that any GM is really nailing the draft out of the park to that extent. I think if you go that route, you're really putting yourself towards a course of having an extremely top heavy team. So I think a contract gets done. But if they can't come to the terms, and I think probably a 4 year deal, somewhere around 170 to 180 million, with probably, you know, 90 to 100 million dollars guaranteed, is probably what you're looking at. If they can't come to terms with that, if Tua's team doesn't agree to it, then I think you do end up playing him on the fifth year option, because I don't think that you can just give him the Deshaun. You're certainly not going to give him the Deshaun Watson contract.
No way.
But I also don't think that you can give him the Justin Herbert contract or the Jalen Hurts contract, because those contracts, if Tua does not end up being the guy, are going to kill you.
Right.
And I don't think he's done enough to really make any of us feel like there's no way that that's going to happen, that he's going to prove to not be the guy.
Right. And it also comes back to the conversation that we were having at the beginning of the show, which is that while the numbers look good, you know, the eye test is December and January, and being able to lead this team to those big victories. Now, I know that other guys have gotten those contracts without doing that, Justin Herbert, but you know, Justin Herbert is one of those guys that has the big physical tools that people go crazy for. And that's what part of the reason that he got it. But before we get any further, let's talk about the one other option, the option that I feel like is probably the least likely in this scenario. But the Dolphins try to find an extension, can't reach an extension, don't want him to play out on a fifth year option. So the final option that they have available to them is to move off of Tua this year and trade him away and find somebody else. I'll tell you the biggest reason that I don't think that's going to happen. First of all, there's nobody that you're going to trade for that is going to be a clear upgrade in Mike McDaniel's system over Tua Tagovailoa. There's just not. I know somebody are going to say, oh, Kirk Cousins, he's the guy.
Kirk Cousins isn't under contract. So you don't need to trade for Kirk Cousins.
So that's right. You don't need to. You could trade Tua for draft picks or whatever. You can go out and you could sign Kirk Cousins. You can go out and you can do that. But Kirk, first of all, if your problem is winning big games late in the season, big games in the national spot, like Kirk Cousins is your guy to go win you the big games?
Well, that's kind of the situation with all of these guys that we're talking about. Even these guys that are getting the contract extension. How many of these guys that I just talked about are winning big time playoff games? Aside from Jalen Hurts and Jared Goff.
Joe Burrow.
None of them. And Jared Goff, you know, just won them this year. He wasn't really, I mean, I guess he won some playoff games in, you know,
I mean, he did take the Rams to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they kind of got there in spite of him, but
yeah, I mean, still.
It's fair. It's fair. It's fair.
My argument. My argument is like, yeah, you're going to trade Tua away and then somebody else is going to have to sign him to the contract that you didn't want to sign him to. First of all, I don't know if you decide that you want to trade Tua. I don't know what kind of return you're going to get. You're certainly not going to get the return that you're looking for. You're not going to get, I don't know. I don't know that the Dolphins are going to get a big, big return. And second of all, I just don't know that there's anybody out there. Where it comes back to for me is I don't see anybody else in the league currently or coming through in the draft that the Dolphins are going to be able to, I mean, even if the Dolphins could trade up to one, you're not going to waste 2024 on a rookie quarterback, you know, the end of your competitive window. So to me, the trade is just a non-starter to me. Well, I just don't see that it's feasible.
The argument is let's talk, because this one is really asinine to me, but it's like, it's persistent. People in the chat are talking about, people on social media. For some reason, people are under this like illusion that Justin Fields is like trade for Justin Fields.
No, are you kidding me? Justin Fields would be an unmitigated disaster.
I just want to talk about it. Because there's gotten so much noise that I think we should talk about it.
Okay,
that's all.
I'll talk about it. Let me make one point. And I'll hand it over to you. Reason that people, and I don't want to put words in other people's mouths, but this is my theory of the case. It's why people are like, you know, losing their minds over, oh, go trade for Justin Fields. Is because the thing that Justin Fields excels at, where he excels, is the area where Tua is not good at right now. Justin Fields, everything breaks down, can use his legs and make a big play happen. That's something that you don't almost never see Tua do. I can't say you never see it, but it's rare that everything breaks down and Tua makes a play with his legs. That's the reason, because Justin Fields does that thing that Tua doesn't do. And it is eye-catching, and you've seen him rush and have huge games running the ball, right? And put up big rushing numbers. But meanwhile, his passing numbers are terrible, okay? Justin Fields does not have the accuracy, the anticipation that Tua Tagovailoa has. He just doesn't have it. He doesn't have that ability to make that split second decision the way that Tua has. And in Mike McDaniel's offense as it is currently constituted, I would not want Justin Fields to be the person responsible for distributing the ball. There, I've said my piece. Now you go.
You could say whatever you want about Justin Fields' talent. You could say Justin Fields has a higher ceiling than Tua Tagovailoa. The fact is, and I'm not necessarily sold on that, because I think there's questions about his ability to read a defense, his issues going through a progression, because he hasn't shown to be very good at that, and he's not a very accurate passer. Now, does he have outstanding arm strength, and can he make some throws that Tua can't make down the field? Yeah, he can. And can he do some things with his legs that no other quarterback in the league outside of Lamar Jackson could do? Yeah, he can. And that makes him intriguing. Here's the problem. If you trade for a quarterback, and I'm not even talking about Justin Fields, if you trade for a quarterback, you are doing so under the guise that the quarterback is an upgrade.
Right, and then now you have to pay him.
Yeah, therefore you have to pay him. So you're assuming, all right, okay, we're going to trade for Justin Fields, and then we're going to pay him. Well, what are you trading for Justin Fields? Because if the Bears are trading Justin Fields, they're not taking Tua for Justin Fields. They're taking draft capital. And we need the draft capital. We have no young talent on this team the last 2 years. So it doesn't make any sense whatsoever, because if you do trade for Justin Fields, you're basically saying, well, we're picking up his fifth year option. we're paying him that. And realistically, since we traded a bunch of draft capital to get him and are replacing our Pro Bowl quarterback, we're now going to give him a massive extension, because his agent is going to say, well, you just traded for him and Tua's getting extended and all these other. So now you're going to give him the contract that you were going to give Tua at the very least. And you're giving up the draft capital. Okay. And this guy has done nothing to show that he's even on Tua's level. So you're it is an unmitigated disaster.
Yeah, we're gonna trade a third round pick and a beat up shopping cart from Publix that we found in the parking lot. And we're going to get Justin Fields. The heck out of here. We're not trading for Justin Fields. Okay. I think that I don't even want to talk about the trade route any further, because it's so unlikely. So here's what I want to say.
I think the Kirk Cousins conversation is worth having.
Okay. And we're running long already, so I don't want to dive into the Kirk Cousins thing. Well,
I think it's worth having. Last thing.
Talk about Kirk Cousins.
Because Kirk Cousins at this point has kind of shown that he's not this super high ceiling quarterback. So I think you get him on a value. I think you get him on a $30 to $35 million contract, maybe on a 2-year deal, and you throw some void years on there and the cap number doesn't kill you. And it's a very easy contract to get out of. And at that point, if you can get Kirk Cousins, and even if it's a lateral move, but you get a contract that's easier to get out of and you get draft capital, I think it's a conversation that's worth having. But again, I don't think it's the ideal situation. I think this is a backup option if you can't get a contract extension that makes sense.
So to me, pose it to you this way. What do you think happens, Brain? What is the most likely outcome for you?
I think they get Tua's extension done. I think it comes in somewhere a little higher than Daniel Jones's contract. I think it probably comes in. I don't think they give him the fifth year. I think they give him the fourth year. But I think the guaranteed money and the annual money cash is higher. I think if it's like, Maybe it's $5 million more per year. So instead of 4 years, $160 million, I think it ends up being like $180 million. That's my gut, is it comes out to be like 4 years, $180 million, and it ends up being somewhere along the lines of around $90 to $100 million guaranteed.
Yeah, I think at this point, the most likely scenario is that Tua gets his extension. And the reason why is something that we haven't talked about yet. And it's because Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel's jobs basically depend on him being the guy. They are all in on this project. And Mike McDaniel was brought in to be the guy, to lead, to resurrect Tua's career. So Mike McDaniel is all in on Tua. Regardless of what I think, regardless of what you think, regardless of what anybody in the chat thinks, the fact is that this is a franchise that is all in on Tua Tagovailoa. And so they're going to make the deal happen. It's going to help them with the cap, and it's going to enable them to continue making moves to make this team a winner. We talked about one of the things we talked about in an episode, maybe it was last offseason, was that we're looking at now a team that is literally making moves not to go from 7-9 to 9-7, but you're looking at a team that is now making moves to invest in the team that they have now in order to take that step to become one of the elite teams in the NFL and to win a Super Bowl. That's what this team's goal is to do now, short term. That's what they're trying to do. And it is clear to me that this team is investing into Tua Tagovailoa. They've, after what they've put in the 2 years since Mike McDaniel has been here,
to build up this team, to build up Tua, and to build up his weapons. He now has the weapons, right? And let's be very clear, right? Devon Achane, Raheem Mostert, Jaylen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, those guys are here, right? Those guys are here. Those are weapons that are here. The Dolphins may look for, I think, bringing in another wide receiver is something that the Dolphins are going to try to do, whether through the draft or free agency. They need to bring in another big wide receiver because the other guys that they have right now are not very helpful. But from here, the Dolphins are looking to bolster their offensive line and basically stay healthy on defense. And if they can do that, you're looking at it, you know, and then they can boost up that wide receiver core and they can get Tua over that hump. They're there, at least in the minds of this front office. I'll also say that I don't think that's a completely unfair assessment. What I'll say is that I think it is most likely that Tua gets his extension and we'll play it out. And I mean, at this point, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But I think we're in a position where the Dolphins are going to need to get that deal done for their short-term future, for their own ability to try to be competitive in this next year to come. And I think that's going to be the best way for this team to make it happen. So that's my take on the Tua situation.
So, and this is the last thing I kind of wanted to get at, and I think you just answered it. So you agree, not only is it the most likely thing to happen, but you also agree that that's what you would do if you were Chris Greer.
I mean, if I was literally Chris Greer and not me as the Dolphins GM, yes.
No, okay. If you were, if it's your, what would you do as Dolphins GM with Tua? Because that's really, like, we could talk about the most likely thing, but at the end of the day, let's have some balls here. Let's give our opinion.
Well, what I'll say again, if I'm in Chris Greer's shoes and I'm the GM, but the rest of the situation is exactly as it is now, mm-hmm. then I'm extending Tua because that there's nobody that's there's nobody that is a better fit for this offense right now. Nobody is walking through the door. Not Justin Fields, not Kirk Cousins. Nobody is walking into this offense that was built specifically around Tua Tagovailoa's strengths. Nobody is walking in and turning this offense into something other than, you know, into something better than what it is with Tua. So that's option one. And number two, it's going to open up the cap space for them to continue to bring in talent and for them to move the pieces around and build this offseason. It's the only way that it can happen.
I agree. I think it's the move to make. Now, that said, I'm not overpaying him. I'm not breaking the bank. Like, if Tua wants to play hardball, if Tua wants to pull, you know, to segue into what our next week's show will be, if Tua wants to play the Christian Wilkins card and reset the market, then I'm playing him on the fifth year option and maybe even, you know, exploring the trade market a little bit, because I'm not paying him the fifth year. I'm not giving him the fifth year where we're going to have a bunch of dead cap space. I'm not giving him the stupid no trade clause. I'm not giving him, you know, the extra $20 to $30 million guaranteed, like the Justin Herbert deal or the Joe Burrow deal or even the Jalen Hurts deal. So if Tua's representation wants to play hardball, then I definitely am okay with pivoting to saying, well, I'm not going to do that, so I will pay you at the fifth year option. Cause I think that would be a decision to do that would be extremely risky. I'm not saying it couldn't work out, but it would be extremely risky and not a risk that I would be willing to take.
Yeah, absolutely. So there it is. That is the Tua episode. And hopefully you enjoyed the episode, whether or not you agree with us, because I see a lot of people in the chat who think we're crazy. And, you know, fine. I get it. I would just ask anybody who wants the Dolphins to move off of Tua right now. I would ask them how they're going to do the math to make the Dolphins competitive in 2024 with Tua on a fifth year option or moving on to another quarterback. I would love to hear how that's going to happen, because I just don't know that
That's real. So anyway, thank you, as always, for watching the Same Old Dolphin Show. We're going to be back next week. We're going to be back next week talking a little Christian Wilkins and what the Dolphins should do with Christian Wilkins. I've got a definitive take on that already. So I'm looking forward to that one. And we'll continue to be back week after week. And again, a reminder, throw us some thoughts in the comments about what would you be interested in terms of a Dolphins Talk Patreon. It's not guaranteed that we're going to do it, but we'd love to hear from you, because we want, if we're going to do it, hey, we want to make it something that people would actually enjoy and get something out of. So do that. Follow us on Twitter at Amplified Rock, at Aaron or the Brain, at Same Old Dolphins. Visit DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. Smash the like button on this video. If you got this far, we appreciate it. Smash that like button. DolphinsTalk.com. Subscribe to the show. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, anywhere you get your podcast. And yeah, that's going to wrap us up. We'll be back next week talking Christian Wilkins. In the meantime, take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, go Dolphins!
I'm happy with anything but trading for Justin Fields.
We're rooting for the Dolphins. I'm mighty, mighty.